Now streaming, Man with Twisted Link. From Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, only on Quidia Your Start and Podcast. Stream.
As Mrs. St. Clair was not thinking, their husband was dead. She suddenly said, "Oh, you must not discourage me, Mr. Holmes. I know that all is well with him. There is so keen a sympathy between us, and I should know if evil came upon him on the very day that I saw him last. He cut himself in the bedroom, and yet I, in the dining room, rushed upstairs instantly with the utmost certainty that something had happened. Do you think that I would respond to such a trifle and yet be ignorant of his death?"
"I have seen too much not to know that the impression of a woman may be more valuable than the conclusion of an analytical reasoner. And in this letter, you certainly have a very strong piece of evidence to corroborate your view. But if your husband is alive and able to write letters, why should he remain away from you?"
"I cannot imagine. It is unthinkable."
"And on Monday, he made no remarks before leaving you?"
"No."
"And you were surprised to see him in Swanapley?"
"Very much so."
"Was the window open?"
"Yes."
"Then he might have called to you."
"He might. He might."
"He only, as I understand, gave an inarticulate cry?"
"Yes."
"And called for help, you thought?"
"Yes. He waved his hands."
"But it might have been a cry of surprise.
Astonishment at the unexpected sight of you might cause him to throw up his hands."
"But it might have been a cry of surprise.
Astonishment at the unexpected sight of you might cause him to throw up his hands."
"It is possible." "And you thought he was pulled back?"
"He disappeared so suddenly."
"You might have leaped back. You do not see anyone else in the room?"
"No,
but this horrible man
confessed. No, but this horrible man confessed to having been there. And the Lascar was at the foot of the stairs."
Quite so. Your husband, as far as you could see, had his ordinary clothes on."
"But without his collar or tie, I distinctly saw his bare throat."
"Had he ever spoken of Swandam Lane?"
"Never."
"Had he ever showed any sign of having taken opium?"
"Never."
"Thank you, Mrs. Clare. Those are the principal points about which I wish to be absolutely clear. We shall now have a little supper and then retire, for we may have a very busy day tomorrow." As a large and comfortable double-bedded room had been placed at our disposal, and I was quickly between the sheets, for I was weary after my night of adventure, Sherlock Holmes was the man, however, who, when he had an unsolved problem upon his mind, would go for days and even for weeks without rest, turning it over, rearranging his facts, looking at it from every point of view, until he had either fathomed it or convinced himself that his data was sufficient. It was soon evident to me that he was now preparing for an all-night sitting. He took off his coat and waistcoat, put on a large blue dressing gown, and then wandered about room, collecting pillows from his bed and cushions from the sofa and armchair. With these he constructed a sort of eastern divan, upon which he perched himself cross-legged with an ounce of shag tobacco and a box of matches laid out in front of him. In the dim light of the lamp, I saw him sitting there, an old bare pipe of him. In the dim light of the lamp, I saw him sitting there, an old bare pipe between his lips, his eyes fixed vacantly upon the corner of the ceiling, the blue smoke curling up from him, the silent, motionless, with the lights shining upon
his strong set aquiline features. So he sat as I dropped off to sleep, and so he sat. A sudden ejaculation caused me to wake up, and I found the summer sun shining into the pipe. The pipe was still between his lips. The smoke still curled, and the room was full of dense tobacco haze. But nothing remained of the heap of shag which I had seen upon the previous night.
"Awake, Watson," he asked.
"Yes."
"Game for a morning drive?"
"Certainly."
"Then dress."
"Then dress.
No one is stirring yet, but I know where the stable boy sleeps, and we shall soon have the trap out."
He chuckled to himself as he spoke. His eyes twinkled, and he seemed a different man to the somber thinker, of the previous night. As I dressed, I glanced at my watch. It was no wonder that no one was stirring. It was 25 minutes past 4. I had hardly finished when Holmes returned with the news that the boy was putting in the horse.
"I want to test a little theory of mine," said he, pulling his boots. "I think, Watson, that you were now standing in the presence of one of the most absolute fools in Europe. I deserve to be kicked from here to Charing Cross. But I think I have the key of the affair now."
"And where it is?" I asked.
"In the bathroom," he answered.
Oh, yes.
"In the bathroom," he answered. "Oh, yes. I am not joking," he continued, seeing my look for incredulity. "I have just been there, and I have taken it. I have taken it out, and I have got it in this Gladstone bag.
Come on, boy, and we shall see whether it will not fit the lock."
We made our way downstairs as quietly as possible, and out into the bright morning sunshine. In the road stood our horse and trap, with the half-clad stable boy waiting at the head. We both sprang in, and away we dashed down to the London Road. A few country carts were stirring, bearing in vegetables to the metropolis, but the lines of villas on other side were as silent and lifeless as some city in dream.
"It has been in some points a singular case. It has been in some points a singular case," said Holmes, flicking the horse into a gallop. "I confess that I have been as blind as a mole, but it is better to learn wisdom late than never to learn it at all."
In town, the earliest risers were just beginning to look sleepily from their windows as we drove through the streets of the Surrey Side. Passing down the Waterloo Bridge Road, we crossed over the river and dashed up Wellington Street. Wheeled sharply to the right and found ourselves in Bow Street. Sherlock Holmes was well known to the force, and the two constables at the door saluted. One of them held the horse's head while the other led us in.
"Who's on duty?"
asked Holmes.
"Inspector Bradstreet, sir." "Ah, Bradstreet, how are you?" A tall, stout official had come down the stone flagged passage in a peaked cap and frocked jacket. "I wish to have a quiet word with you, Bradstreet."
"Certainly, Mr. Holmes. Step into my room here." It was a small office-like room with a used ledger upon the table and a telephone projecting from the wall. The inspector sat down at his desk.
"What can I do for you, Holmes?"
"I called about the beggar man, Boone, the one who was charged with being concerned in the disappearance of Mr. Neville St. Clair of Lee."
"Yes, he was brought up and remanded for further inquiries." "So I heard. You have him here, in the cells. Is he quiet?"
"Oh,
He gives no trouble.
But he is a dirty scoundrel.
Dirty? Yes. It is all we can do to make him wash his hands, and his face is as black as Tinker's. Well, when once his case has been settled, he will have a regular prison bath. I think if you saw him, you would agree with me that he needed it.
I should like to see him very much.
Would you? That is easily done. Come this way. You can leave your bag.
No, I think that I'll take it.
Very good then. Come this way, if you please.
He led us down a passage, opened a bar, passed down a winding stair, and brought us to a whitewashed corridor with a line of the doors on each side.
The third on the right is his,
said the inspector.
Here it is! Here it is!
He quietly shot back a panel in the upper part of the door and glanced through.
He is asleep, said he. You can see him very well.
Holmes was planning something. There was something going on in the mind of Holmes that he came in the night to the London Road, to the police station, to see Hugh Bourne. And that was the mystery.
What was actually going on in Holmes' mind?
What of Hugh Bourne? Why is Holmes very considered that Hugh Bourne is responsible for disappearance of Mr. Neville Sinclair? What was the reason?
Hey everyone, this was episode 5th from Man with Twisted Lip by Arthur Conan Doyle from Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. Next episode will drop coming Sunday. Till then, stay tuned and subscribe to Creature Use Starting Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Listen to the latest episode on all podcast platforms. We are in the top 50 podcast in our channel. So what you waiting for? Stream all the stories.